May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is 2,000 years old. And not the paper, but the words. And not all the words, but just this part of it. This is Jesus' own words. A story that is as puzzling as it is challenging. And you'll know this story. The judge, not corrupt, but lazy, self-centered, doing whatever suited him. And in the story, the widow, needy, who hammered on and on and on and on, and this is Jesus' words, and on, for the judge first didn't notice, then was bored, then was angry, and then at last gave, only so the widow would go away. The story may be 2,000 years old, but it happens today. Who's not had trouble with their internet connection at home? You phone, and 10 minutes before something, not someone, answers, only first to tell you that they're going to record this conversation. You think having a conversation would be a good thing. And then you have to press some buttons, and then you're told you're seventh in the queue. And Jesus says, keep going. And at last, when they say, how can I help you? It's done with a tone of voice that indicates they've got targets to meet. They're not interested in you. But there's something of a flavor of Jesus' story that's missing from that. Because Jesus' story is even more spicy. What I've said underlines that sense of keep going. But Jesus' own story says something more about the powerful are ranged against you. And Jesus names the fact that you, if you're associated with the widow, you don't matter. So let's reimagine it again. The corrupt, self-serving police officer taking evidence, not interested in you, but in getting his own story right. The financial advisor for whom his commission always seems slightly more important than what you will get out of the deal. And just so we don't point the finger always elsewhere, the bishop who will only respond to your email with a feel of simply wanting to get the matter off his desk. So there are two flavors in this story. Sympathy, I understand. Keep going. But also the harder bit about honest acknowledgement that the poor and weak seemingly don't matter because power is so often used for its own ends. And the response to that is not just keep going, but re-heartening those who can feel, why should I bother? And our role, if we're not seeing ourselves as the widow, can be to have both parts in our repertoire. Sympathy, but also a tougher, re-heartening people. For we live in a world where power is so often self-focused. And this part is probably not 2,000, but only 1,970 years old. It's connected, but this part has a different tone to the original story. And there are a number of indicators that say that they come from different eras. If only Luke had used track changes, I could prove it to you clearly, but there are indicators in the text. This is introduced by, "And Jesus said." This says, "The Lord said." Because the style of telling story in Jesus' day was he would have told intentionally an open-ended, puzzling story. And like any good rabbi, the disciples would have had to say, "And what does it mean?" And that conversation would have gone on throughout Jesus' life and for some time after. They wondered, they puzzled, they gave various interpretations. And then sometimes the moment comes when people and leaders in the church wanted to say, "And this is what it means. This is the interpretation we're going for." And that's often indicated by the phrase, "The Lord said." The Lord Jesus, the guide and leader of the church. But it's not Jesus' original words. It's a declaration that this, and this, the interpretation shifts. No longer the widow in focus, but God. And what does it say here? Will not God grant justice? Will God delay? I tell you. And those are the words also that indicate something new is happening. This is the chair of the interpretation panel declaring discussion is now over. This is the interpretation we're going with. I tell you, God will quickly grant justice. In the original story, what was required of us but sympathy, perseverance, endurance, determination, courage? And in this, confidence that God will, in the end, declare what is right. God will vindicate. And you'll know that as well as sympathy, that matters. At the end of a tribunal looking into an unlawful killing, you can't recompense the family by bringing the dead back, but you can help a great deal by saying, "What happened was wrong, and this is right." I say that because within your repertoire, both can be important. Sympathy, encouragement, determination. And on this hand, sometimes the courage to say, in the face of unjust power, that is wrong and this is right. So the chair declares, I tell you, God will vindicate soon. But if you noticed, there is one little bit left over. This was the chair declaring the final answer. And this is the sigh of the minute taker, the secretary who is recording what the Lord of the church is saying. just quietly in the margin writes, "Yes, but when the end comes, will God find faith?" That's the world-weary sigh of the minute-taker, who has seen it all before and knows that at times widows are trampled underfoot and give up. But I want to turn that sigh around back in the spirit of Jesus' original story. Not, "And will God find faith?" but, "And what sort of faith will God find?" Is it the reservoir of sympathy? Is it the determination to rehearten the downtrodden? Is it the courage to speak up for those with no voice? And so the gospel ends. When the end comes, what sort of faith will God find in you? Amen.